Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. Thank you for joining us once again for our Sunday announcement of this week's Great Rosary Campaign. We know we're in dark times, confusing times, and in times like that, we need to fight evil with the best weapons at our disposal. Among the best weapons at our disposal is the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I wear mine wherever I go. I have been for years. By praying it faithfully, I've seen so many conversions to the Catholic faith. And not just conversions to the faith, but moral renovation, including myself, sins that I thought would be hampering me for the rest of my life. And there are still temptations, but many of those sins have gone away. And why? Because nobody desires holiness among God's children more than the Mother of God, Our Lady. So the Great Rosary Campaign is a year-long mission for the conversion of cultural leaders. Every week, as you've seen, we are announcing a weekly call to pray for specific fallen away Catholics and non-Catholics. And you can sign up to receive updates in your inbox at greatrosarycampaign.com. So this week's rosary target is James White, and our suggested penance is a 24-hour water fast. Now, James White, many of you have probably heard of him. He is famous for being a Protestant apologist and for, frankly, arguing against the Catholic faith on almost every front. And so I want to first mention I've known and respected James for many, many years, including my time as a Protestant. I think James is right on many, many moral issues, on many of the great cultural issues of our day. And I know from having watched him for many years all the way back to college, I don't know if he has it anymore, but he had a Starship Enterprise D warp drive behind him with the flashing lights and everything. And as a Trekkie, I absolutely love that. So James, live long and prosper. But the reason I want to pray for James White is it may seem unlikely, and in a natural sense, it is unlikely to imagine James White becoming Catholic. But Our Lady and Our Lord specialize in miracles and things that seem unlikely. Now, James was somebody who I turned to after I began reading the Church Fathers in the summer of 2017. I made it my full-time job. I was at the Museum of the Bible, and my boss, we just finished our big project, and my boss said, research whatever you want, and we'll make it into exhibits later. And so I started reading, this set of the Fathers. There's a set right behind my back, and made it my full-time job. And so I was very disturbed by what I found because it was very, very, very Catholic. And so I turned to James White and watched all of his debates with Catholics in order to hopefully bring me back from the edge because I desperately did not want to convert. A number of things would have to change about my life, and that'd be for another talk. But unfortunately, well, it seemed unfortunate at the time. Now I'm very glad I wasn't convinced. James's attacks against the Catholic faith just didn't land after reading through the Fathers, after reading through the catechisms, after reading through so many of the decrees of the ecumenical councils of the church. They just weren't landing. I could see that the Catholic faith was often being misrepresented and that a lot of history was being misrepresented as well. I'm not presuming that James is doing that on purpose, but whether it was on purpose or not, it was a misrepresentation nonetheless. Not in everything he said, but in enough things to where I realized, no, the church has the better point here. The church is standing on much more solid ground here. And that kept happening over and over and over again, because like I said, I watched all, as far as I'm aware, all of James White's debates with Catholics. So these 2, 3, sometimes 4-hour long videos where James would try to refute different aspects of the Catholic faith, whether the papacy, the priesthood, Marian veneration, whatever it may be. And so James was not able to bring me back from that precipice of conversion. And so I'm hoping that by praying the rosary for him this week, we can bring him to the precipice of conversion. Maybe it won't be this week, but hopefully through our prayer and fasting this week, we can win graces for him that will ultimately lead to him coming home to the Catholic faith, to the Catholic Church. I believe in the Catholic Church, James's wonderful gifts, the gifts that he uses for good in many ways, can be brought to full fruition, full power, as it were, within the communion of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And there would be nothing, well, I don't know about nothing, but there would be few things as profound for me as to one day receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist on my knees at the altar rail with James White, whether in person or at another Catholic altar somewhere else in the world. So we love James. We desire the salvation of his soul. I know he's had an impact on many people, both Catholics and Protestants. Some of it for good, some of it not for good, but we pray that he ultimately comes into Catholic communion and ultimately endures to the end in Catholic communion to attain salvation. That's what we're praying for. So, James, we love you. We are praying the Holy Rosary for you. We're asking Our Lady to pray for you. And we hope you accept this gesture in the spirit with which it is offered. So over the last 1,000 years, countless popes and saints have recommended the Holy Rosary for 3 basic reasons. 1, to keep the faith. So if you pray the rosary, very unlikely, if not certain, to not fall into heresy. For repentance and moral renovation, and for conversions to the Catholic faith. That's the whole reason we're doing this Great Rosary Campaign. And I want to remind you that there are 6 biblical themes for this Great Rosary Campaign, and I want to list them out for you. The first one is, it's about praying for our brethren. So we've been praying for fallen away Catholics, and so that's what we're going to keep doing. We pray for our brethren. This is what Scripture clearly commands. The second one is we pray for our enemies. Obviously, Jesus famously told us to love our enemies and to pray for them, and the apostles commanded the same thing. So we're praying for our enemies, which include those who are not Catholic, who frankly attack the Catholic Church and try to besmirch the Catholic faith. And so that's why we pray for them as well. The third one is we pray for our leaders and those in authority. So that's political leaders, ecclesial leaders, leaders of universities and companies and influential organizations. And so we need to keep doing that because there's a lot of influence to be had in those areas and they have an immense impact on our culture. The fourth principle is that we go into battle with the ark. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites circled around Jericho for 7 days, and they did so with the Ark of the Covenant. And on the 7th day, they blew the ram's horn, and the walls came crumbling down. So when we start these Great Rosary Campaigns on Sunday, and we end on Saturday, that's a 7-day period of time, we're praying the rosary every day, and the rosary belongs to the new Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady. As the old Ark held the manna, the staff of Moses, and the tablets of the law, the new Ark holds the law, the living law, Jesus Christ, the chief priest, and the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven, who we receive every day on the altars of the Catholic Church through the Holy Eucharist. So when we're doing this Great Rosary Campaign, we are going into battle with the new Ark of the Covenant. So remember that. The fifth biblical principle is that we need to remember that evangelism and apologetics is not just arguments. It actually consists, I would argue, of 4 basic ingredients. The first one is love, and love is loving creatures for the sake of the love of God. And so before you get into any arguments, you got to make sure your heart's in the right place, a posture of love toward those we are trying to convince of the faith. The second one is arguments, and that requires, you know, reading up, making sure you're presenting your opponent's best case, that you're making good arguments, that you're presenting the faith accurately. But the third one is prayer, and the fourth one is penance. These are the 2 wings upon which our requests are brought to God in the most powerful way possible. Many church fathers talk about it. Many saints talk about it. Prayer and penance, particularly fasting, is incredibly important. And we can always do those things for the people we wish to see come to or come back to the Catholic faith, whether they want us to or not. It's a great act of love we can do for them. So love, arguments, prayer, and penance. If we're not doing all 4 of those things for the people we wish to see come to or come back to the Catholic faith, we're selling our faith short and we're not using all the wonderful spiritual weapons that our Lord has given us in his church. And 6th and finally, the principle is returning good for evil. I know many of you, if you talk about Our Lady, if you talk about the rosary, if you talk about anything Catholic, you're going to get all sorts of slanders about engaging in idolatry, that we believe Mary is a goddess and whatnot. All of that is false. We know it's false. And so my recommendation, if you're engaging in this Great Rosary Campaign, and just throughout your life, if you hear things like that from Protestants or even other non-Catholics, return good for evil. Express a kind word. Pray for them. Don't return, you know, the venom for the venom, okay? Return good for evil. That's a solidly established biblical principle. And so when we're doing this Great Rosary Campaign, please keep that in mind. Especially when mentioning the rosary and Our Lady, because Our Lady would certainly not return venom for venom. She would return great love for any great venom sent her way, as we saw her do in Scripture, and we've known she's done throughout church history. With that, we'll end with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.